WATT-FM Marshfield, WBMS Brockton.
Welcome to the South Shore's Morning News Weekend Review Podcast. I'm Rob Hackelall. Listen for the next 30 minutes as we take a look back at some of the big interviews from the week on the South Shore's Morning News, which airs live weekdays from 5 to 10 a.m. Okay, it's time now. We want something really, you know, huge, global. All right, I like it. The Vice President of Global Marketing is with us now for Showcase Cinemas. Mark Malinowski is on the line. Mark, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing.
I love that music. That's great music.
Yes, it's great. I think that's from the Lord of the Rings. Okay, I love it. All right, Lord of the Rings. I mean,
awesome.
There's just some. I spend many hours in the movies watching Lord of the Rings. Those movies went on forever. Yep. Those were good ones. There's something about the experience, and it just as much as it's great to be able to pause and go to the bathroom whenever you want. Sure, and you can stream everything. There's still, for me, when it's a big movie. Especially as soon as it comes out, like towards the beginning, I just like to go to the theater. And that's why you're here to say, Hey, you know, the experience is there. It's even a better experience than maybe you remember, right?
Absolutely. We've been working so hard through the years and, you know, even during the COVID years of making it a better and better experience. And, we opened our new Showcase Cinema Deluxe at Hanover Crossing at the end of last year, and the cinema's just doing amazingly well. And we have our X Plus premium large format there. So, you know, Dolby Atmos sound. It's really, I think, Rob, you've been there. Beautiful power recliners and a giant screen. And you really are, you know, when you see a movie like Avatar, The Way of Water, you're in the film, you know. And, you know, if you see it in 3D, I mean, it is truly like you're not disrupted and you're in it and you're escaping, you know, in the case of that movie, 3 hours plus, escaping everything else that's going on in the world, which sometimes can be, you know, a nice little vacation.
it really is, you know, for those kind of movies. And, you know, we're going to talk about some of the movies that are still to come out that you're excited or you just want to throw out there. The Hanover location is great. Obviously, we love Hanover Crossing. You know, it's been a huge transformation. Obviously, we remember the mall. It's gone. And then one of the first buildings we could see constructed near the Market Basket, you could kind of see, at least driving down Route 3, Mark, I could see the rear of the theater. And I said, oh, it's coming along. And, you know what I mean, right? I mean, it was huge.
Oh, I do. Because I live on the South Shore. Okay. So I personally love going, you know, obviously I love going to the movies and, you know, it's my job, but I also have loved it forever. And, you know, growing up with Showcase Cinema. So I was as excited to have it open as everyone, as anyone else, you know? Yeah. So it's thrilling. And, you know, we've got some really big movies coming up this year. What's great is, you know, Hollywood is producing more. We have more movies, you know, on the calendar, but movies that people are excited about too, some new ones. Dungeons and Dragons from Paramount. I haven't seen it, but a lot of colleagues have, and they are super excited about it. Mm-hmm. So that's coming up in a few weeks. This isn't new, but I think it's somewhat of a new take on the Scream franchise, which is taking the whole franchise to New York City. I've heard that's amazing. And then, you know, we've got some big, big spring movies like Super Mario Brothers in April is coming out, and there's a lot of good buzz around that. And then, you know, then you've got the franchises like Guardians of the Galaxy, which is closing out, to kick off the summer, and then Mission Impossible. We have the last two films that Tom Cruise is doing in the franchise.
Yes.
So, you know, there's just so much coming. We are excited, and, you know, we started the year off really positively with Avatar doing so well. And then, you know, surprise movies like Megan, which, did really well. And then even this weekend, you know, it's an interesting film. It's just getting some good reviews now. Cocaine Bear, which is a sort of comedy horror, you know, kind of mashup that everyone's sort of talking about right now.
Well, it's definitely a title I never thought I would see.
I know, exactly.
but it's
right.
real. I know because no, I'm serious, Mark. When I first saw that, I thought it was an SNL trailer because sometimes they do some great movie parodies.
Exactly.
And I said, Cocaine Bear. Wait a minute, what is that? But it's real, and they've done a lot of marketing for this movie.
They have, and that trailer has just gotten so much, you know, viral buzz around it. I mean, the first time I saw it, I couldn't stop laughing. I hear it is just such a mashup of horror, comedy, adventure. It may surprise people this weekend.
Yeah. I bet it'll do well. It's opening weekend.
Yeah.
All right, so we've got the new Hanover location. Tell us a little bit, Mark, about the experience, about people that maybe haven't been out in a while, about some of the, we talked about the seating, but what about all the other things, food and drink? Tell us about that.
Oh, yeah. So food and drink is top priority. And, you know, to that point, we have our lobby bar, which is doing really well. And as a matter of fact, this past weekend, we had an event with Untold Brewery where they did a takeover of the bar. We do, you know, focus on serving local craft beers and local companies. So we really leaned into that this past weekend with this full-on promotion all weekend, and it did really well. A lot of people came in, a lot of fans of Untold. But, you know, we have hand-rolled pretzels that are just amazing. I mean, I think our popcorn is the best out there. Even if I'm just going to the theater, not to see a movie, I get it. There's something for everyone. And, you know, I think people just love the theater because it's fresh, it's new. I think it's airy. You, even if there's crowds waiting in line, you don't feel it. So I think it's just, it's been one of those we're really proud of that theater and really happy that it's doing so well.
Yeah, it's great. And obviously, you know, it says a lot about, for a huge company like the company you work for to invest in, to build a new, brand new theater. It says a lot that, and I always felt this way, even with streaming, of course, people would say, that is going to kill the movie theater, and especially with COVID. And, you know, I really was concerned about that for a long time. And we know that was difficult for every, you know, restaurant and movie theater, you know, basically being closed for a while. But the movie theater has rebounded because it's a part of our culture, and it's still something that people like to do as a group thing, is to go to the movies.
Exactly. They want to sort of be in this sort of communal experience. And whether it's a horror film and you're scared out of your mind, I mean, I remember, you know, seeing Jaws with my dad when I was a kid. I had to sit in someone's lap, this woman's lap, when I was like six. But because the theater was filled, and I still remember that. And,
yeah.
You know, the thing about it is I don't remember what I watched on streaming last week. I mean, we all watch it, but it's just not the same. You know, it's just not the same.
No, it's not. I mean, it's fun, you know, for binging. I've been using it a lot, you know, for certain TV shows. I do love that. For a big movie, you know, obviously for me, for Mission Impossible, I mean, Tom Cruise, I mean, listen, the guy gets injured on these sets doing his own stunts.
Oh, he's amazing.
It's unbelievable. The guy's work ethic is just incredible. So I'm looking forward to those two movies.
We give him a lot of credit, too, for what he did with Top Gun and how he really did
sort
of going back. And I just read an article this morning, actually. He was visiting his agency, you know, CAA in Hollywood, and they gave him a standing ovation. I think he was there this week, and all the agents gave him a standing ovation when he walked into the building. And Steven Spielberg has credited him, you know, with helping to bring moviegoers back with Top Gun, which is an excellent movie. And again, another example of, I've seen it both ways. I've seen it in RX Plus. I've seen it at home. The at-home experience was nothing like the in-theater experience. So.
Mm. And coming up in, I think it's June, I'll throw this out. I know I saw an ad for it during the Super Bowl, the new Indiana Jones movie. There is Harrison Ford, right? This is happening?
Yes. That is, honestly, between you and me, and everyone listening, that is the one I'm excited about. And I think it may have similar, appeal as Top Gun in terms of the nostalgia, but just a great movie, an exciting kind of old-fashioned sort of Hollywood movie, but obviously updated. Yeah. I cannot wait for that one.
You're going to be wearing your indie hat, I imagine, Mark.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
Well, we'll check out. Again, we invite everybody to check out the new Showcase Cinema in the Hanover Crossing. Mark Milanowski, Vice President of Global Marketing, Showcase Cinemas, which, of course, a big company, but it has local roots. So that's a great story as well. And, Mark, thanks for calling.
Thank you so much. And go to the movies.
This South Shore's Morning News rolls on. Good morning. I'm Rob Hackelo with the Morning Team, and it's our Tech Talk segment every week at this time. We talk to David Snell over at AxSmart IT in Wareham. David, good morning.
And good morning to you, Rob.
All right, so this week we've got Meta introducing Facebook and Instagram verification fees.
Remember in the old days on the front page of Facebook was a free and will always be free. The old days are gone.
Okay. So what is this about? Is this something Mark Zuckerberg is cooking up?
Yeah, he's already cooked it, and now he's serving it up to Facebook users in Australia and New Zealand later this week. They're rolling this out.
Sorry for but our friends down under. Yeah,
but whenever you see something like that get rolled out somewhere else, you know the handwriting's on the wall where you're going to be experiencing the same joy or maybe not joy, because it's going to happen to all of us at some point in time. Just like many other social media functions, they're rolling out authentication. They want you to be verified so that, in fact, everyone knows that you are a legitimate person and or business on their platform.
Okay. All right. So this is supposedly to cut out imposters and frauds.
Yeah, all the fake accounts that they're always having to put up with, find and shut down.
Yeah.
We're not all going to have to do this, but it's going to start with people who are content creators, and then from there it'll be available for businesses on Facebook and also on Instagram. So it'll eventually get to the point where you'll see a blue badge that indicates that the account has been verified with a government ID.
Okay.
Okay, so that's supposed to give us some comfort in doing business with those folks.
Okay. Paid subscribers, now, because I know with Twitter, there's been all this thing about having a blue something or other. So this is a Facebook thing.
This is a Facebook thing, just like Twitter.
Okay.
They're trying to get verified, right, verification.
Okay.
So there's fewer fake accounts, but not everybody has to be verified. So I'm not quite sure how this is going to really help us unless we only deal with people who get that blue check mark.
Yeah, okay. Because, yeah, you wouldn't have to do this. So
right.
then you're right. So, okay, so... You said there'd be no changes to accounts on Facebook and Instagram that are already verified?
Yep, and I didn't even know there were verified accounts, so I don't know. You know, I don't do much on Facebook, so especially we don't do any selling or anything, so I'm not sure what a verified account looks like today.
No, I thought you just got on there and that was it.
Exactly.
Okay, I understand why we need to have... I mean, you want to have, like, if it's a person, you want it to be, like, you know, if it's a picture of a guy, it should be a guy and vice versa and that kind of thing. It should be who the person is, and the business should certainly represent itself. I know, you know, every few days, including this morning, during the overnight, I seem to get friend requests from clearly fake people that I have no connection with, and... you know, that you can just go on there and see they don't really have a lot of information, or all the pictures posted are from yesterday.
Right.
So they want you
to become their friend, because that way they get access to all of your friends.
Yes, isn't that wonderful? So, yeah, so I have to go through and do kind of a deletion, a little weeding, and that's just one of those things. But, you know, I'd love for those things to go away, but this necessarily wouldn't take care of that if not everyone has to be verified.
Correct. It's not going to change that at this point in time because, as you just said, everyone is not going to have to be verified. And the people who want to be verified will know that folks with a blue check mark or whatever color they end up with it being will be someone who's been verified by Facebook in some manner.
Okay. So what is this all about? Is it just to get money?
Well, Zuckerberg says he doesn't expect to make a lot of money on this, a significant revenue, but the estimated cost is going to be for, if you access Facebook on the web on a computer, it's going to be $11.99 a month. And if it's through iOS or Android, it's $14.99 per month. So with hundreds of millions of subscribers, I wonder how it's not going to be a revenue item for Facebook.
I don't get it. This is it. The revenue stream. Again, having a monthly charge is the way to go for everything.
Exactly. That recurring income is what everybody wants.
Yep. Yep. Soon you'll have to, you know, pay a monthly fee to get your car forever, even if you pay it off. Just to use it. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, it seems like it's getting very hard to just buy anything or pay something off just to have it. And I guess that's the way, but I can't imagine these little fees are just going to really just chip away at people's, you know, usable income.
Exactly. You know, I think we talked about this in the past. We used to be free TV. We had as many channels as we could have. But now we're paying a monthly fee for streaming from multiple channels, which in many cases is more than what Comcast would have cost in the beginning.
Exactly. And the other thing that I was told is that, you know, especially the more you pay, the more you'd be getting rid of ads. But I think that there seem to be more ads than ever. So what happened to that whole deal?
Well, so when you look at it from a business standpoint, they've got you paying them monthly, but they're not getting the advertising revenue for that. So they're changing their plans, which will allow you to have some ads, lots of ads, or no ads. So
yeah,
we're just going to be different plans. We're going to have to keep upping the money that we pay these folks to try to keep ad-free.
Well, I would think, you know, I guess if this is optional, that's okay. I imagine if it ever became mandatory, you as someone that doesn't, as you just said, I don't use Facebook a lot, that would be a see you later kind of thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. And exactly. I mean, ultimately it will come down to that. Just like with streaming services, people will probably end up, if it becomes something you pay for, you'll end up cutting down how many? Because sometimes now people have, you know, Facebook, you know, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, or whatever it is. And, yep. You know, I would imagine you'd probably cut that down.
I think you would, just because it becomes so expensive. And you don't realize it until, you know, a couple of months down the road, when you look at all the bills coming in every month, say, wow, I'm paying $250 for streaming services.
Wow.
When I used to pay $70 for Comcast.
Yeah, and now I'm paying, you know, $11 a month to look at people's pictures of food. I don't
yeah,
know.
Where they went on vacation. I don't know if it's worth that much to me.
I don't know. An automatic renewal. Okay. All right, well, this is something definitely to look at, because I know, I think over the weekend as well, and I'm not sure how true it was, that there were some people upset about some kind of fee that maybe Elon Musk was proposing. He kind of just throws things out there, though, just to see what the reaction is. Over on Twitter, I noticed that, yeah. But in any case, fees are something to be looking out for probably in the future, and this might be something to look at as a start. Or at least they're probably going to test this out, as you just said, and see what the reaction is.
Yeah, they're going to see it in Australia and New Zealand this week. And then I'm sure once the money starts coming in, it's not going to take them long to roll this out in the U.S. and everywhere else. So,
all right. David, where can people go to read this latest article?
Let's go to xsmartit.com and click on my blog link.
xsmartit.com. Thank you, David.
Thanks, Rob.
That's actsmartit.com, actsmartit.com, our Tech Talk segment with David Snell. In this segment, we're going to be talking about a book. It was inspired by a remarkable true story, a story about a female doctor who dedicated her life to the fight against polio in the United States. Joining us now to talk about the book, The Woman with the Cure, we have best-selling author and acclaimed historical novelist Lynn Cullen on the line with us. Lynn, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us. What a fascinating story this is, and this is just wonderful to kind of bring to light a name that not as many of us should know, and we should know, Dr. Dorothy Hortzman. So tell us about, first of all, why you decided to focus on her and bring this story to light.
Well, many people know about the race to find the polio vaccine between Drs. Jonas Salk and Dr. Albert Sabin. And it was a worthy race because polio was striking every summer since 1916. And it was claiming in its worst years, it had 58,000 patients, paralyzed people or deaths in 1952. And so as interesting as they were and their race was, I wondered, what about women? Weren't there women? And it took some digging, but sure enough, there were women. And I focused on the woman who made the biggest impact, and that was Dorothy Horstmann.
Wow. So the woman with the cure. And as you mentioned, and I think it's hard for a lot of us to imagine what it was like to live in America during that time with polio. I know we just came through a pandemic of COVID, but think about what it was like to not know, especially, you know, in the case where COVID didn't seem to impact children as much. A lot of children would be killed or paralyzed by polio, and it seemed like there would be nothing we could do about it. And, you know, what a scary time to be. And so, as you mentioned, so many people trying to work to get this done. And so tell us a little bit about Dr. Dorothy Horstmann, how she first got into the research and started to look into figuring this thing out.
Well, she came from nothing, as they say. She was born to poor German immigrants, born in Spokane, and lived her childhood in New San Francisco. And she became interested in medicine. She was actually an English major, but she became interested in medicine after she visited a hospital with a family friend and saw the miracles that sulfur drugs were working on patients. You know, those were the first antibiotics, and patients who were given up for dead were revived. And she wanted to be part of that. She wanted to know, you know, do the research and just be part of this new thing, these miracle drugs. And so against all odds, she got into medical school. She got her residency at Vanderbilt after surprising the chief of medicine there, who thought he hired D.M. Horstmann, a man. He was not happy when Dorothy Millicent Horstmann showed up.
Oh.
But she persisted, and it took her many years because she had a hunch about how polio worked in the body, because they still did not know for decades. About 4 decades, they did not know how it worked. And she had her hunch, and she was not encouraged. You know, her gender worked against her. But she persisted and was the person who discovered how polio worked in the body.
Yeah, and you talk about that she was looking specifically at blood, right?
Right. They did not know. You think it seems so obvious now, but they did not know how polio, the virus, entered the body and how it spread. They thought it went from the nose for the longest time. You know, it entered through the nose and went right to the nervous system. Well, you know, that didn't make sense to Dorothy, among others.
Yeah.
And she found a sample of one time she found the polio virus in a blood sample. And from that time on, she was determined to find it again. And when she did, after experimenting, what they found was it appeared before there were symptoms. And so they were missing it. They were always looking for it in people who they knew who had polio, and that's how they missed it.
Wow. The woman with the cure. And Lynn Cullen is with us today talking about this amazing story. And so, Lynn, I know, you know, tell us what it was like or what you're hoping to at least get the word out, because there have always been women in science through the years. And oftentimes, especially in the past, they didn't get their full credit, did they?
No. it was just kind of a feature of society. And she was accustomed to that. And she actually didn't let it get in her way. She was just determined that no matter what, she was going to figure out this disease and stop it, because she, perhaps more than anybody in the world, understood it more. She went to all these outbreaks and saw what it did to communities, and she was gonna battle it no matter what people said, no matter if she was a woman, and no matter that her ideas were underfunded and underrated.
Yeah. I mean, it's important, you know, now we're starting to at least hear these stories, because we think about, you know, the stories that have come out about, you know, World War II and some of the women that helped break the codes, or in the space program, you know, and finally they're getting their due. I mean, obviously, you know, late, but better late than never. And so this is kind of great to go into, especially as, you know, we've just gone through another a pandemic here, to know about, you know, a woman that had such a huge impact on polio. And as you said, not only a hard job to do for anyone, but that pressure as well. When you say she, you know, she shows up and they're thinking it's going to be a man doing this work, is not only she has to do all the science work, she's got to put up with the society stuff.
Right. And she was aware of it. She told a colleague later in life that she regretted that women could not have it all. That if you had to achieve what you had to achieve, sometimes you had to give things up. And that was a regret to her. And it kind of was a theme I wanted to explore in the book. And it made me think about her as I was developing her character. What did she give up? And it's true to this day. Women have to, I remember as a young woman, you have to make decisions about the proportions of your life that you want to devote to things too. But she had it, of course, even worse. She had to give up everything to do her work.
Well, an inspiring story, and thank you for writing and sharing it. The Woman with the Cure, Lynn Cullen, and you can find it now in stores and online. Is that right, Lynn?
That's right. It's everywhere.
LynnCullen.com. LynnCullen.com if you want to find out more about Lynn Cullen. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. As always, you can find us on your radio at 95.9 FM, mornings from 5 to 10, or online at 95.9WATD.com.
And you can catch up with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can get the links at 95.9WATD.com/SS Morning News. And join us next week for another edition of the South Shore's Morning News Week in Review.